Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, July 8th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 69, paragraph 3, which begins with whatever our ideals turn out to be. Today's readers are Minette M. for the 12 Steps, Rosalia P. for the 12 Traditions, Nancy L., Eileen M., and Ellen D. Mary B. will greet newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors at the end of our recording, and then Robin P. will end us up with some announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, Wednesday, July 7th, is 17307. That's 17,307. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17312. That's 17,312 for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Minette M. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Minette.
Good morning. My name is Minette M. from Oklahoma, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Monette M. in Oklahoma. Okay, and I will now ask Rosalia P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. I'm Rosalia P. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or communities. I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on. Or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I'm sorry about the mistakes, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rosalia P. I'm sorry about my mistakes, too. We never rise above being human. Thank you so, so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 69 in paragraph 3, and I will ask Nancy L. to please read that for us.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. This is Nancy L., recovered in Arizona. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. This is a great chapter. The previous chapter we read where we asked God to mold our ideals, and now we're saying whatever ideals turn out to be, the things that are brought up in our mind that we need to make amends for, we will be willing, and we must be willing, it says. We can't skip on this part. We have to make amends as long as we don't hurt anyone. I like this part, too, where it says the right answer will come if we want and if we will to do it. And if we do it, the right answers come. They may not all come at once, but as we go through our house cleaning, like we would go from one room to the next, we see that we have different types of amends to make to different people. And that's one thing that has helped me so much with the question of just how do I go about this one and that one and those people and this thing. I get to go to my sponsor and ask her, what do you think? This is the amends I've written. I want to read it to you. And most sponsors are more than willing to give me the advice or give us the advice that we need. So I'm very grateful to have read this paragraph, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. Okay. Though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute to let me know you'd like to comment on this paragraph. star 1 to unmute. Any experience, strength, and hope out there? We'd love to hear from you.
What's just a paragraph
Leia.
Again?
Leia. I got Leia S, and someone asked what paragraph it is again. So that's page 69, paragraph 3, begins with whatever our ideal turns out to be. Would
Kara
anybody
L?
Else like to?
Barbara
Kara
W.
L? Barbara W. Anybody else?
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Last call for this round.
Robin T.
Robin T. Anybody else? Okay. I've got Leia S., Kara L., Barbara W., Sherry M., Robin T. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Well, Leia S., please get us started, and you'll be followed by Kara L. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine. It's so good to hear you and so good to be on this meeting. My name is Leia S. from Brooklyn, New York, traveling en route back and forth, but I'm so glad to be on this meeting. I never really looked that I had the ball in my game. I mean, you know, in relations with a different sex, I knew all along the people were looking at me, but I might have been more provocative. I might have been more. My behavior might have done or given some messages to others. And especially when I gave messages to my partner, they were definite and they were real. And sometimes, more times, they harmed more people than others, and especially him. Being honest and truthful in all relationships is something that I have come to learn in this program. Absolutely, regardless of the gender, regardless of the race, or regardless of anything, be honest and authentic. And the answers don't come right away. So that's such a frustrating thing. But by being honest and by honestly seeking not advice, but seeking guidance to from my higher power, that means that a new idea comes into my head, and that can only come from the divine power. That's what I call divine power. But not always do new ideas come into my head. If I let go and I start understanding that certain situations are really out of my control, and they're all about relationships and different types of people and different types of personalities, and it just wait it out, and God will give you that right intuitive, and it has been that way. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leia S. Good to hear you. Kara L., you're up next, followed by Barbara W.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you, everybody, doing service and bringing the meeting to us today. I love these two paragraphs, these paragraphs that we've been reading, you know, because yesterday we talked about, you know, asking God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. So that tells me that, you know, yesterday I learned I don't have to have answers. I don't have to figure it out. I just need to say, hey, you know, God, please help me here. And then today, you know, whatever that ideal turns out to be, you know, I'm growing towards it. I translate that as, you know, I'm going to do the best I can. I used to have a sponsor who would say, today I'm going to do today's best. And I'm going to grow towards this ideal. And then cleaning up, you know, like I have to clean up where I've been, where when we looked at earlier, you know, did I arouse jealousy, bitterness, suspicion, you know, so I'm going to clean that up. And I'm not just going to dive into that alone. I have a sponsor to help me. I'm going to sit in meditation. That means I'm going to sit with God and I'm going to say, okay, God, what should I do about each specific matter? You know, so in nowhere in there does it says, Kara, you're going to decide how to fix all this and you're going to figure it out. No, it tells me over and over again that my higher power is going to guide me. And that my job is to be as honest, as humble as I can, open myself to intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, and move forward, you know, to keep growing. And that for me today, I mean, for someone who thought that she had to figure everything out in her life, to today, I just say, God, please help me here. I don't know the answer. That's huge. And I'm so grateful for it. And I look forward to hearing from everyone else today. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. And we have Barbara W. up next, followed by Sherry M. Please share with us, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. It's interesting. I grew up in the era, I'm 75, I grew up in the era where any kind of sex outside of marriage was like you were looked at along as morally weak and promiscuous and whatever. And the era when sex wasn't talked about, it wasn't. And my first husband and I did not do sex until after we were married. And both of us, I'll speak for myself, I had been grounded in that you just don't do that. Good girls don't do that. And I like how it talks about what should we do about these kinds of matters. And the one word that came up to me big time was expectation. Gosh, we were 22 when we got married, and I don't think either one of us knew what we were supposed to expect. But what I remember is now that I know he's passed about 2 weeks ago, and I'd have to say that everything, the relationship and everything is, I found myself comparing after we divorced, I found myself comparing what I was experiencing in sexual encounters to what I had been doing with my first husband. And I was terribly judgmental of that experience. I started comparing one partner to him and another part. I didn't have very many partners. I'd say I could count them maybe one hand of my entire life. But I kept comparing it to him. He kept coming up short. And now that he has passed, I'm like, boy, I was so terribly unfair to that memory. We have three children, for gosh sakes. You know, be kind, Barbara, be kind. But
gentle reminder.
I was so young and so naive. I didn't know really what to expect. Thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you for sharing with us, Barbara W. Sherry M., you're up next, followed by Robin P. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Thank you so much. Good morning. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, and I've really enjoyed listening to these paragraphs over the past 2-3 days. And I was just going to listen today, and then there was that pause of nobody putting their name out, which was unusual. So I'm sitting here in my car with the book open, and I thought, well, maybe I should put my hand in and share, because maybe I have a different kind of share, and maybe my share could help somebody else out there who may have my experience. I don't know. So I thought maybe I would just share about it. So, you know, the paragraph right above, that these sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. And I have to say, so as a child, when, you know, my dad and my stepfather sexually abused me or molested me and were inappropriate sexually, and I grew up around a lot of nudity and things that children should not see at all. This God-given good quality was, I was robbed of that as a child. So that's what I'm working with in terms of how I'm viewing the world. And now I'm, becoming an adult and going out there, not trusting men, not being able to use these God-given power, you know, not to be able to enjoy something that God gave to people. And so what do I do with that? Well, I ate and stuffed my face with food for years and years and years and years. Anytime there was any sort of physical intimacy, immediately I'd find myself in the refrigerator, stuffing it down. This, you know, so am I ever going to have a healthy relationship? It's gotten so much better, right? With God's help. Is it ever going to be, is it ever going to be normal again? No, probably not. But that's what my experience has been in this life. And I feel like that maybe that's what I can help other people with. And I have helped other people with these same sort of situations. And so maybe God's using me in that way. But what I am willing to do is to grow toward an ideal that God wants me to be. God wants me to be healthy. And so I try to bring God into those situations with my husband. I get outside help. Not only that, I love that this whole page is about relationships with or without sex. It's every relationship. And what is willingness? You know, I see willing twice in this paragraph. We must be willing, which means without reservation to me. And it means that I'm hastily trying to do God's will, and I want to do God's will with sacrifice for myself. I want to make right any harms that I've done, and I have cleaned up my past, and I continue to work these steps. And so there's no area in my life that cannot be healed with God's help and with these steps.
Central mind.
Yes, and I just want to wrap up with saying that this is a miracle that I have been recovered, and I no longer need to harm myself in this, you know, category of sexual relationships and intimacy, because I have God now, and I'm so very, very grateful. And I don't know if this share made any sense to anybody, but that's what I'm doing. I'm leaving it here. Goodbye.
Thank you for sharing with us, Sherry M. Robin P. is up next, and then after Robin shares, we're going to take another lineup on how it works. Page 69, paragraph 3, whatever our ideals turn out to be. Please share with us, Robin.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Thank you, everyone who's doing service on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And you know, what jumped out at me was the right answer will come if we want it. And as some people know on this meeting, that my husband and I were married for 11 years, and we went through a really challenging time, and we got divorced, and we really missed each other over the year. And my husband asked me to go to church with him on Christmas Eve. And I went, and I heard God say, Merry Christmas. This is my gift to both of you. And we started dating again, and the second time I proposed, and he said yes, thankfully. And we got remarried during the California wildfires on November 10th, 2018. We did not plan that part. And we got stuck behind a wall of fire the day before our wedding, and a police officer rescued us. And our friend's house where we were going to have our wedding reception burned down to the ground the night before our wedding, and our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. And we had our wedding, our reception, and our honeymoon at our church rectory. And we always say that the first marriage, we felt like we spiritually went through the fires. The second marriage, we literally went through the fires. And I am so grateful. My husband, the recovery is such a miracle blessing. And I can see it in action. Like I can, it's tangible for me in our relationship. I'm so grateful for my husband. He is my best friend. We are both in our recovery programs, and it's just a miracle. I would never be able to come to Costa Rica and live here without him. And I'm so grateful. He's my angel person. It's literally a miracle of recovery, our relationship, and everything about it. And it's everything that I was hoping for in a marriage I have today because of God and recovery. So I hope that gives somebody some hope. It gives me a lot of hope because we're going through so many challenges here in Costa Rica with, you know, finding our right place to live and our right car, and and God's got everything just like he has us. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. I'm so grateful I got to share. Thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you, Robin P. Excuse me. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 69, paragraph 3, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Vicki A.
Vicki A. Oh, it's a tough topic, folks, huh? Anybody got experience and strength and hope they'd like to share? Sounds like we could use it. Page 69, paragraph 3, whatever our ideal turns out to be.
Jody E.
Jody E. We have room for a few more. Well, let's go with Michelle F., Vicki A., and Jody E.
Please, Marty J. Michelle.
And Marty J. Thank you, Marty. Okay. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Okay. Thank you so much for your service. I wasn't sure what I was going to share, but here goes. This is a painful topic for me. Like many others, I have been sexually abused, and I unfortunately didn't wait till marriage. I was very promiscuous, and I had a lot of negative experiences. I loved my husband very much, and it has not been easy to be married. It has not for me. I do have an addiction to sex and love, and I have obsessed about people outside our marriage, and that's very shameful for me. And I've done these steps, but my husband did not want me to sit down and give my amends to him, and I have to honor that. So I had to look at what else could I do, living amends, to be a better wife. And that means, you know, instead of expecting him to love me, I need to love him. And that might seem kind of old-fashioned, but, you know, I have to, if I love this man, I have to accept him as he is. And I have to learn to live with him as he is. He does not have recovery. He's a hoarder. And although not very bad, it causes strife in our family. And, yeah, so being willing to move towards them means, okay, when I got into recovery in the other program, I got rid of all of the what they call the con, the makeup for other people, the hair and the clothes for other people. And I looked at what did I want to show up as, and I changed. And I don't put myself in situations that are at all questionable or inappropriate. It's just something I don't do because I have people I love and I care about and I don't want to hurt them. So I don't put myself in a place where I could hurt them. And, you know, he isn't always very nice to me sometimes. But I don't give it back. I could. I could be very cruel. I could give it back and then some. Instead, I teach him how to treat me. And I set appropriate boundaries. And I'm honest with him about my feelings.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And that's what had to change. So I don't know if that helped anybody, but thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much for sharing, Michelle F. Okay, Vicki A., you're up next, followed by Jody E.
Hello?
Hi, Vicki. Please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I missed if I was ready to be announced. Hi, I'm Vicki A. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. Again, nervous. This may be my second or third time sharing, but I am currently working on step 7 and 8 and reviewing my past and my past actions. And the one word that always pops in my head is ideals, and it's just like I'm discovering what that actually means. And it's pretty enlightening. But what I wanted to share is, you know, talking about my sexual relations, my sexual behaviors. Thought it was always very private and always shameful about it. How I've used that along my life journey to get where I needed to be, and how it no longer serves me. And what I wanted to share about that part was, you know, how do I go forward? I've learned to put the food down. I've learned all of the great gifts that have arose from that. How do I go forward with this old ingrained habit of how I use my sexual behaviors, you know. And an example of that was just recently I had to go to, I didn't have to, I went to a going away party for my son, and it involved my current partner being there and my ex-husband being there. And learning about step 7 and 8, I did pray. I said, God, can you help me remove these character defects? Well, what are my character defects? It was fear of people. I'm not sure how to act around people. I have these old habits of mine. Well, what happened with all of that, and I let it go, I went to the day, you know, looking at it how, you know, in a good way, and man, looking back, I had a really good day, and I thought, well, what was that? Well, yeah, Vicki, you prayed, but also what resulted from that? There was friendship. It was just friendship. It was nothing about the sexual possible suspicions, contacts, whatever that may have, I thought may have evolved from that, and that is what resulted. And I thought I needed to share that. I thought I needed to share some more to get out of my comfort zone, and that's why I'm here. So that's what I get out of this, and I am grateful. And thank you for your service, and thanks for listening. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vicki A. And Jody E., you'll be up next. You're up next, followed by Marty J. Please share with us, Jody.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. So human sexuality is so interesting. so complicated. As Bill says, we all have sex problems. Many of us do. I'm sure that I do. So what is my sex ideal? I'm still coming to understand it. And I'm so grateful that the 12 steps and this 12-step way of life is bringing me to a sexual ideal. Today, for me, my sexual ideal is that it not be selfish, number one, that it not be based in self-will, but in God's will for us. So if it be God's will that I come into a relationship with a man, in my case, then may God help us to seek to understand rather than to be understood, to love than to be loved, as the 11th step prayer says. And to ask, why are we coming together? For what greater purpose? Is there a greater purpose for our coming together, for our partnership? Probably there is. Because that's the way God works. God uses us for the greater good of all. And when two people do come together in partnership, honestly, passionately, committedly, great things can happen. So am I open for that? Am I willing to be used in that way? I think I am. So, God's will, not mine, be done. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. So we have Marty J. up next, and then we'll have time for a couple more shares on page 69, paragraph 3, whatever our ideal turns out to be. So please share with us, Marty J.
Hi, I'm Marty J. from Torrance, California. Glad to be on the line here with everybody and appreciate everyone's shares. It is a hard topic. During COVID, I had joined these meetings for the first time, and actually through my recovery gave me the strength to want to do a sexual inventory. And like others, I had also been sexually abused, and mostly just I felt like sex was just so distorted in, I guess, the culture I was raised in. And you know, I guess I felt just so insecure in so many ways, but I covered and protected myself with weight. And it's been a challenge in marriage. I've been married for 27 years. We have we're both very actively involved in our religious community, and we raise our children that way. And right now, we have lots of friends divorcing all around us. And it's heartbreaking because it's not like we haven't been there too, you know. I would say probably about 5 years ago, I felt like a program was the only thing that saved our marriage because I was ready to be done. And I have obsessed about other people and thought that maybe life would be better, you know, moving on and going elsewhere. And so in my mind has betrayed my marriage in many ways. And that's the obsession of the mind that we deal with in so many on so many levels. But doing my sexual inventory this last year was very healing. I've also taken body workshops, and that have helped me, because anytime I get down in weight, I get too much attention from men, and it's uncomfortable. So it's all what's going on within me. And so I've taken steps to bring God into that and to work the steps and to use inventory as a way of really working through some of my sexual issues. And I really am so grateful for the steps, because if I didn't have this format to be able to work through these problems, I wouldn't have the recovery I have. And so when I still butt up against these certain repeated problems and patterns of thought that kind of come to me, or I have issues within my marriage, it's allowed me the ability to have boundaries. It's also allowed me the ability to communicate more openly and to be more honest in what I want or what I need. And these are all real hard conversations to have within a relationship. And relationships are just difficult. And but this pattern that we have through the steps, through doing inventory, through sponsorship and fellowshipping, is what gives me the courage to keep going forward. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Marty J. Okay, we have time for, I think, three more shares. Please press star 1 to unmute if you have not shared since
Tova
Monday.
Tova E.
Tova E.
Tova E.
And Harry W.
I heard
Stephanie N.
Stephanie N. and Terry W. Thank you very much. All right. Tova E., please share with us.
Hi, this is Tova E. from Illinois, struggling with my abstinence and my program after a really successful start a couple of months ago. But this is such a great meeting for me, and I'm so grateful that I'm pushing myself to go to meetings and to keep coming back. And there's so many. I really just appreciate all the heartfelt shares that are giving me hope that I can do better, that I can do better with my husband and take responsibility for my part. It's been really a rough couple of years. He's suffered from severe depression. He had prostate cancer. He's back to a severe depression and off of work right now, going through some pretty intense treatments at the hospital. And I don't know. I'm so grateful to listen to everybody. It makes me feel like, you know, I can do my part to be a loving wife, and I don't need to get caught up with mistakes I've made or thoughts I've had in the past, that I can live one day at a time and try to do my best and just to keep trying to come back to meetings and keep trying to work the program. So thank you everybody for having the meeting and for their heartfelt shares. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Tova. You're in the right place. Glad you're here. Okay, Stephanie N., you're up next, followed by Sherry W.
Hi, this is Stephanie M., like Mary, in Los Angeles, California, recovered compulsive overeater. I, like everyone else, was reluctant to share today, but I haven't in a while, and this part does speak to me. Before program, I hated myself, and what that looked like is I truly thought I was unlovable, and so if anyone paid attention to me, I slept with them, and then on the flip side, I refused to date. Like I had this like anorexic approach to being in a relationship where I just wasn't allowed to until I was a certain weight. And I spent my whole life gaining and losing 20 pounds up and down, up and down. And I just, it was like 5 more pounds and then I will date someone. Or, you know, I accidentally wound up in a relationship, but I don't want him to see me. So I'm withholding. And it's all about my body. And so for me, you know, the idea is like, I still have a really hard time with body image. So nothing about that has changed. I almost want to say nothing about it has changed about my body image while everything else in my life has gotten better. And for me, the idea is trusting that like what is happening in my head is not the truth, and that I get to be there for my partner and show up trusting that my body has nothing to do with it, you know, and that, you know, by not being with my person because I want to lose 5 pounds, that's like that's something I'm punishing him, you know, I'm punishing him for my broken brain. And you know, we treat this like any other problem. I found that when I'm honest about what's going on in my head, I feel seen in a way that makes me more comfortable and we're more connected. And, you know, it's embarrassing to say, I think I need to lose weight or I don't feel comfortable because I'm obsessed with my body. I don't know. That's what's working for me. You know, it's like shining a light in these places where I have a broken brain and what I believe, even if it's nonsensical, even if it's like completely absurd, is what's happening. And by being honest and being vulnerable in ways that are, you know, I've learned in program, like I've learned to be honest, then like actual vulnerability and like, you know, intimate vulnerability comes with that as well. So this is a really hard thing to talk about on a public line, but I do think it's so important. Because for me, it was like the one part of my life I didn't want to look at. Everything else in my life got better. And honestly, it wasn't until COVID happened and I ran out of things to do. Work was good. Life was good. I wasn't allowed to travel, but I finally was.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And now I have to focus on this and it's working. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Stephanie M. And Terry W., you'll be our last share for today.
Can I be heard?
Yes, Terry. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Terry W. from Massachusetts. I'm recovered anorexic and bulimic. And it is tough to talk about this subject. You know, I was molested by both sets of grandparents, and that brought a lot of fear in my intimacy as I was growing up as a child. And, as an older child, not a child. But, you know, I found when I look back, I had to always be drunk to have sexual intercourse all the time. And I never would have it unless I was totally drunk. And, you know, it makes me think about a situation where I was seeing a guy for a long time. And, you know, I was at his house and I brought the whole bottle of wine and all that and had to get drunk. We had sex. And then before I left, his roommate had a whole pizza downstairs. He brought home for the next day and I ate the whole thing. You know, so I was always stuffing myself with food or with, you know, with liquor to be drunk. And, you know, I felt so ashamed. And the minute, you know, I had relationships, the second anyone said, I love you, I would jump them right then and there because I just could not accept that fact that anyone cared about me. Everyone I jumped that said, I love you. And, you know, today as I walk alongside of God, I can look at, you know, having intimacy as any other problem, you know, and today I can trust at bringing ideals to God in my meditation. And like I said, you know, I wouldn't have looked at this or realized I had this pattern if I was not in recovery. And today I have that option to bring to God, you know, that I may help with this, you know, and rather than being, you know, in the food and being drunk, I don't have to be there today. And I just bring my ideals of meditation to God. And I'm so grateful that I'm not perfect by any means, but I can certainly work on getting better at the things that I need help with God. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Terry W. And thank you, everybody that shared. Just amazing, vulnerable, open, helpful shares today. So we're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Eileen M. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Eileen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until